Little shunk.
You know what else is prevalent on the East Coast? Schist. That's right. Schist.
Which is close a
mica.
One.
Yeah.
Welcome once again to this episode of the Chill Filtered Podcast, where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. You probably are. And that is why we like you. This episode today, this is episode number 299. This is one episode before episode 300, which we have some plans. We'll tease that a little bit later. We have some
killer plans.
Killer plans. Tease that a little bit later. But today on this episode 299, we are drinking Garrison Brothers Cowboy Bourbon 2023, the hazmat release. It is 70.45%. And it is from Garrison Brothers.
Yep.
So before we get into that and before we start chatting and everything, just want to say maybe a little business. Maybe hit us up on Instagram. There's been a lot of Instagram activity lately. We've been posting stories like madmen lately.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting up Driftless Glenn and everything on the stories.
Yeah.
Been coaching some of our lovely Patreon supporters on how to access those stories and properly vote on those stories. So thank you, David and Brian, for hanging in there and letting me teach you how to do that.
Yeah.
But that's where you can
be graduates like Jim Mathwaig is now.
Yeah. Yeah. But get in there, vote on our polls in there and everything, and let us know how you're feeling about all our what whiskey would you choose and everything. So now there's one very important thing here while we're still in the intro that I want Cole to do. I did not brief you on this at all, but today's whiskey, the Garrison Brothers Cowboy, is so potent and powerful and hazmat that I suggest we pour it right now and let it sit. Let us sit and breathe while we are shooting the breeze. What do you think about that?
Foreshadowing on potency.
Hey, when something is 70.45% and it is as dark as this is. Look at this. About
dark. That'll be part of the history. Holy crap, that's dark.
It is insanely dark. Yeah.
Wow.
So this puppy's going to breathe for a bit. But Cole, now tell me, how's your week? How you doing?
Doing good. I'll tell you one thing. I'm entry buzzing on a Ben Klepsig joint. I have Stranahan's 10-year, specifically batch 3, which is Stranahan's is a Colorado single malt, and they age in new charred oak. That's what they're known for. I've been there a few times. Met the head distiller at the time. I think he might still be there, but his name's Jeff Dietrich. Or it's Rob Dietrich. Rob Dietrich. I know a Jeff Dietrich. It was a good time. It was very cold. I waited in line for like 5 or 6 hours in Denver, December winter. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But I really like this. This is good. Thanks, Ben.
Baller. I mean, thick coat and scarf and everything, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
everything.
It was probably. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, nobody had a tent out or anything, I imagine, because it was only 5 hours.
I mean, some people probably did. We weren't even close to the front, but we got the bottles we came for.
You waited five hours, but other people waited like way more than 5 hours.
Potentially, we were in the middle of the line, but we weren't like super close to the front. I'll tell you that. And at a certain point, we started moving through the distillery itself, so it wasn't like super cold, but it was at least 3 hours in this Denver December winter.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super cold here when they were doing those fries drops, so people were, you know, all bundled up and cold and everything. But I mean,
in Phoenix.
Yeah, this is Phoenix.
Yeah.
If people were waiting, I don't know, 24 hours for that, I don't know what kind of release deal the snowflake thing is, but.
Yeah, we got there like 5 or so. I think it was like 10 or so they opened. So,
gotcha.
But that sounds
like a fun event in general, though. Yeah, isn't it like a huge party? There's bands and everything.
No, not for that. It was so early in the morning that even when they started up, they might do it these days. But that was 2016, I believe.
Gotcha.
No, that was 2015. It was the Mount Evans release. And it was good. It was good. It was, I mean, the best part about those kind of things is just shooting the breeze about whiskey for a while. So
yeah, nice.
With whoever's around you.
You mentioned what your entry buzz, and I'll mention what I'm entry buzzing.
Yeah, please.
So a big and bold. I wanted to go big and bold. So naturally, a decent competitor here to this cowboy bourbon is Stag. So I'm entry buzzing on a store pick from Trevor's that is 139.9 proof.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to get for a store pick. Wow.
Yeah, I know. So this is 0.1 away from Hazmat, and it's... yeah,
I've never even heard of that for a Stag Junior or a Stag.
Now look at this color difference, YouTube listeners. So this glass here is Stag, and this deeper, reddish, darker is the Cowboy. Woo.
That's crazy. How's the Stag?
Stag's good, real good. Just classic Stag. I mean, a lot of sweet, like almost like Dr. Peppery, kind of like cherry a little bit. Yeah, it's there's nothing particularly unique about this one. It is just, if anything, I guess maybe it's a little more like hot. It's a little, I've had some batches that are a little easier to drink than this. Of course, it is 139, so yeah.
So I just poured, so we had our episode on Garrison Brothers, Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And then we poured out a little for future re-entry buzzes. And then I still had a little bit left on my sample bottle. So I just poured it now. That is the most sugar daddies. You know what I'm talking about? Those caramel or sugar babies, either one.
Isn't it sugar daddy? Yeah.
It's either like one. The sugar daddy is the popsicle looking thing. And the sugar babies are like the beans, but they're like caramel.
Huh.
I've never gotten such a strong note of sugar babies or sugar daddies right here.
Wow. Mostly like you're getting big caramel. That's what you're getting?
Big, obvious caramel. Sometimes like bourbon can be like caramel, but it's not like super obvious. This is like straight up caramel.
Did you say that's the Guadalupe?
Yeah.
You had that much Guadalupe left?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, I must have drank a lot during the episode.
Yeah. And that's dark too.
Yeah.
I like it. It's not as good on the palate as the nose, but it's still very good.
And that was Raisins the whiskey, right? That was our
Raisins. That's the yep. It's almost like a mixture between Raisinettes and Sugar Babies. It's like the ultimate popcorn, or all you're missing is popcorn for your movie snacks.
Nice.
So, that's cool. It's pretty good. But yeah, otherwise life's good. I planning for the road trip down to San Antonio. Yeah,
that's right.
I have some friends in Atlanta. Hit him up, or one of my friends I hit up yesterday. I was like, hey, why don't we get lunch on the way back? Because that'll be halfway through my trip on the second day back to Virginia. And he was down. And then,
I'm currently furiously Googling where Americus, Georgia is.
Oh, true. Yeah, it's got to be. I think it's southern Georgia.
Yeah.
It's like near the border, I think.
No, it's, kind of. It's
Alabama, Florida.
It's as close to the west border as Atlanta, but it's quite a bit out of your way of what should be.
That would have been dope. I maybe I'll stop by a few liquor stores because I'm sure they sell 13th Colony.
Yeah. If you can find a cask strength, I don't even know how hard it is to find. I imagine it's probably pretty hard to find, but I want a cask strength bourbon.
Oh yeah, me too.
Rye. And obviously the 15th anniversary thing's still going around right now. I heard people even today say that at the distillery, they were able to pick up a 15th anniversary.
No way. Today?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that might be worth going out of my way for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's up to you. Yeah.
That's way out of my way.
Yeah.
Looking at that map.
I know. But, and it's like, there's no easy way to get there, and there's no way to make it.
Yeah. There's no like big highway that's like, hey, cause I'll be in Mobile the night before likely.
Yeah.
Or maybe no, it's a long trek. Yeah, I'm like considering all the things that I can do, but I got to drive at least 10 hours a day. Two, I got to study for my exam while I'm going about my driving road trip.
Okay.
Yeah. While I'm driving. Yeah. No. But yeah, keep that in mind. If I get really, you know, fighty and threatening. That's because my exam, from the time episode 300 comes out, it'll be a month from my exam.
Nice.
So it's coming right up, but I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling really good about it. So.
What is the best way to de-escalate you?
I don't know. Just like help me realize that, like my dad one time was just like, hey, like it was that one time I almost fought that guy in Sedona. And my dad like held me back basically. And was like, he is not worth it. Like whatever that guy, you know, is doing, not worth it. But I don't know. It's just a simple reminder to myself that like, oh, I'm stressed out because of my exam. And that's why I'm feeling these epic emotions right now. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2.5 hours south of Atlanta.
Oof. That's a long way.
And
it's
then
a random city. I didn't realize how random America's Georgia in terms of like, there's nothing around it.
Yeah.
I mean, Albany's somewhat close, but not really.
Boo.
Boo. But I mean, if you're into Andersonville, yeah, you're not that far. But anyway, but yeah, I'm hoping on stopping a good few liquor stores on the trek. Maybe I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, wow, it's kind of funny. One thing I am really excited about is, for our pool for, you know, all of our reentry buzz samples, I'm just like, I got a bunch of stuff on my shelf. Maybe you're interested in it. Maybe you're not, or maybe you're like super interested in it, or maybe you're just like someone interested, but I'm like, no, let's just pour a bunch of samples for the reentry buzz. So we're closing in on like 150 samples soon.
I believe it.
Yeah, so
I kind of thought we were there already. Actually, did
we
you
might
count?
Be. I mean, in terms of total, we go from like what 87 to like 2 something. Yeah, it might very well be closer to 150 already. So
yeah.
But I literally poured. Wait, let's count real quick. I literally poured 14 pours in the past 2 days,
awesome.
And poured them out. You know, for the homie, for Brian.
Hey. That reentry buzz just aired. My Driftless Glen unicorn. Brian Rapp's own personal unicorn.
Yeah. Did you see any?
No. And no, I they don't distribute.
Well, maybe Arizona. Ben, or heck, maybe even Caleb will keep an eye out for you, because he's done that for me. Mm-hmm.
You know who's going to the distillery in like a week or two is
Ben?
This guy right here, this
Lupin.
Coaster? See this coaster right there?
Oh, Max.
Yeah.
Nice.
Max is going to the distillery. He said he'd grab me something. I said, dude, as long as it's cast strength, just get the oldest one you can find. So,
and their bourbon is good.
Oh, yeah.
But their ryes are something special. And the funny thing is, looking back at that reentry buzz, it was weird because my perception, and I'll take it, I'll own up to it. My perception of that whiskey was it was over finished. And you know, if you watch it, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's all Cole thought about, and I bet all my points basically on that.
Yep.
But I love that rye, but the mostly it's weird because the fact is that it was unfinished that I loved it and it had so much flavor, but in my mind I'm like, this is so finished that I don't like it. I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I didn't remember how great I thought it was, especially.
Yeah, I got you.
And I love that rye, and I'll open it every now and then.
How much more you got left in that bottle?
At least a quarter. And then I have a 5-year that's unopened right now.
Nice, nice.
And it's also like high proof rye.
I might have to bug you for one more sample of that one that we had the other day.
Yeah, no worries. No, yeah. And I honestly, I think the 4-year, Ben, when he bought me the 5-year and, you know, sent it to me and I paid him for it. When he sent me the 5-year, he gave me a little sample of it because he had one opened.
Yeah.
And I think the 4-year was even better.
Wow.
So the 4-year was great. But you know what's even funnier is that the 4-year that I sent you that we did the reentry buzz on wasn't even as good as the 4-year that Caleb Olson sent us originally.
Oh, wow.
It was good. But like the one Caleb Olson sent us was like, holy cow.
Dang.
And it was a 4-year as well. So
if they distribute,
shout
to
out
Arizona,
to those Wisconsin ballers and Max Michigan.
If they start distributing to Arizona, man, I'll have a new go too. I'll have a new
throw down brand $225 worth. Yeah,
my brand of champion's always been Wilderness Trail, but I could change teams if Wilderness starts distributing down here.
Yeah. Wait, Wilderness? What do you mean?
I might have said it wrong, but I said Wilderness Trail is my brand that I champion right now. And but if Driftless, if Driftless,
like, wait, what is their name again?
Yeah, if Driftless starts distributing to Arizona, I might switch teams because they might be my number one then.
That's where I met Caleb Olson. That's how he's a listener. As we met at a Wisconsin drinking people meetup. And then, and I met, you know who else I met there? He's a big creator now. My Bourbon Journey, Scott from My Bourbon Journey.
I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. We met there. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And we traded bottles. He gave me his New Holland Dragon's something bourbon finished in beer or whatever, and it was pretty good. It was like chocolate icing on a cake, and then I gave him my batch proof Woodford.
Another that's funny you mentioned chocolate on the other one, and the Woodford batch proofs, I get a chocolate note on those, which is maybe one of my lesser favorite notes to get on whiskey.
So I'll tell you, chocolate's not a big one, but the chocolate icing that I got on the New Holland or whatever, that was good. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, chocolate can be a little bit of a artificial note for me sometimes.
Yeah, right. It's like, what'd you do?
This one wasn't. It was like sweet chocolate. It was nice. Good.
That's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on with you?
We got our, I think I might've mentioned this last time, but the cabinets. So they came in and they put in the lower cabinets, and I guess our floor is a little uneven. They really had to take extra care, and we're really happy with the way that they did it too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they had to kind of level out the bottom a lot to, in order to keep the actual countertop level. So they had to sand down towards the end. And, we've got this wine fridge that we're building in, and, and we realized that, like, they had to take so much off to keep it level of the cabinet height that it made it so the wine fridge was a little too high now. So then we had the countertop people coming back to actually measure for the countertop and everything.
Wow.
And they were like, oh yeah, no, you're going to need to call your cabinet guys and have them put in a little riser here just to bump the countertop up. I mean, I'm talking like an eighth of an inch or less. It was only just a little bit. And then, so we had that all in the books for them to come back. And when we realized that, oh, there's these little legs underneath the fridge that rather than just screw them in all the way so they're short as possible, we could screw them out all the way so they just completely come out.
Nice.
So that made it sit a little lower, and we called the cabinet people. We're like, hey, we figured it out. You don't have to come out anymore. So we're all set for the countertop to get put in at the beginning of April, and then for the cabinet people to come back and put in the two like tower uppers with a big glass door on them.
Okay.
Like the show cabinets.
Nice.
They'll come back and they'll do those April 3rd or something right around there.
They like the ones that you like close and it slowly shuts?
Yeah. Definitely soft close. Yeah.
You need that. Yeah.
Especially with a big glass window.
And a lot of bottles within.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of countertops are you getting?
We tried to match what we have in the rest of the kitchen as well as we possibly could, but it's a very like white marble. It's not marble, but it's the marble look, and it's quartz. Yeah.
Quartz. Is it quartzite?
No, it's legit quartz.
Wow. Like a white quartz?
It's a very marble looky quartz.
Wow. I'm into that. And quartz lasts a lot longer. You don't have to worry about acids getting on it. It's very, very hard rock.
Yeah. Stain proof. Very not porous from what I've heard. Yeah.
My in-laws have quartzite, which is the metamorphic version of quartz. But it's like, dude, that thing is strong as crap. Like you could fall off the counter after dancing on it and you can not break it on the edge.
You got me. You got me thinking, I don't know, maybe it is quartzite, but I'm pretty sure it's just straight up.
So quartz, okay. I might need to correct you. I have a feeling it might be quartzite because quartz is very clear, typically, or very translucent, typically. Think of amethyst. Do you know what amethyst is?
A gem?
It is a purple crystal.
Okay.
And it's very clear otherwise. Like, it's very translucent otherwise. But it is very purple. Have you ever seen those six like hexagonal you know, crystals that grow from the ground and stuff, like in these geodes? Typically, I think so. That's quartz crystal.
Okay. But
then quartzite is a lot more cloudy. My in-laws have one that's also very looking like, it looks a lot like marble. But it's just a little more cloudy because of the metamorphic process, lessons of geology with coal. But yes, find out if it's quartzite.
I did just remember that you do a whole jewelry thing that I forgot about.
Yeah. But I also took a geology course in college and I killed it in that class. Like,
nice.
The class average was a D plus and I had a B plus.
Dang.
Yeah.
Did they weight it? Did you get an A instead?
I don't think they weighted it at all. The teacher was like really old, didn't care. And I mean, he did care, but he wasn't like going to care about a curve or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they would like, one of the parts was a lab. And in the lab, we had to be like, hey, what's this rock? And like, what's this rock? And what's this rock? And so we had to be able to call out what we see.
That's cool.
Quartzite is very prevalent in the East Coast.
Hmm.
Like I literally picked up a stone earlier today that was quartzite when I was out with Beck.
And, nice. Make a countertop out of it.
A lot of stones. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Make a countertop out.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. And quartzite's pretty cool because it's one of those things that when I was a kid, we used to have these quartzite rocks and we had this metal rake and we would, you know, kind of like brush the rock with the metal rake and it would spark. And that
was cool.
So quartzite is very good at, with metal, is sparking.
Huh. That's cool.
Lessons in geology with coal.
So if you ever need to start a fire and you're on the East Coast where it's prevalent.
Yep. You know what else is prevalent on the East Coast? Schist. That's right. Schist.
Which is close
a mica.
One.
Yeah, it was a close one. It's a mica metamorphic rock.
Nice.
That is very brittle, but they use it to build in larger, you know, stones and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
I've literally never even heard of that.
I think it's S-C-H-I-S-T.
Hmm.
Now you know.
Never heard of it.
But anyway, now that we've talked about schist, maybe we should get on to our break because we're going a little long.
PSA before we do. If you are a Grand Reserve member at Total Wine, the lottery input emails just went out where you prioritize what bottles you want for the next raffle. And you got to do that by, I don't know, April 1st or something.
You did Mr. Sam was your number one.
Yep. I did Mr. Sam as my number one and I did Birthday Bourbon as my number two. So check your emails for an email from Total Wine if you are a Grand Reserve member and don't forget to put in for the lottery.
Yep. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself. Do what you need to do. All right. Now that we're at this point, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Garrison Brothers, but specifically their Cowboy release. But before that, let's hit a quick break. All right, welcome back. Some notes, quick notes to get to. First of all, I have two notes. One, Dramhound is alive and well. Shout out to that baller.
Yeah, let's get some dings here. Some he's alive dings.
Yeah, exactly. And shout out to him and his amazing Dram pup. And I'm sure he's got a great Dram wife too. And Lady I Dram. Was like, what's a... So what went through my mind is that, of course, you call a child a puppy or a pup. And hound, you would assume is a man. And I was like, what's a female dog word? And I'm like, nope, don't go there.
Oh, man. I wonder if he's ever thought of that.
Maybe. Maybe in a good way. You know, certainly not a bad way. He's freaking Dramhound.
Too funny.
But shout out to Dram Pup. If you're listening, we love you, Willow.
The whole Dram fam.
The whole Dram fam. Yeah. And a shout out to everyone who joined the drink along yesterday. We have that one coming up as of recording, but by the time this comes out, we will have done it already. So thanks for all who joined. Okay, let's talk about Garrison Brothers. This is our second episode on Garrison Brothers. Not very long ago, only 4 episodes ago, we drank their current Guadalupe release, the 2024, and it was great. Now we really have a treat, a hazmat banger that has won a lot of awards since last year. Now, last time we talked about why Texas bourbon is different and a little bit about just Garrison Brothers in general, but today we're going to talk a little bit about what makes Cowboy release different. So it all started in 2012. That's not when the distillery started. That's when Cowboy started. So when founder Dan Garrison and his master distiller Donis Todd were checking through their bourbon barrels for use for their single barrel program, they were just checking out a few. And quote, it says this: normally these barrels are picked due to, he basically found some like really crazy barrels in that process. He said, normally these barrels are picked due to one or two especially strong flavor notes, which not only creates a unique experience unable to be found in any other bourbon on the market, but also ensures that we're able to keep these exceptionally powerful notes from affecting the smoothness of our regular small batch bourbon. So it was like so strong that they didn't want to incorporate into the standard stuff, but they were like, hey, this is, you know, getting some crazy. So apparently they came across about 11 specific barrels in 2012 that were really, they really just were digging. They was like, this is crazy. But they also said they were like pitch black in color and from how they aged. So originally they were different. And what do you do with different barrels? Well, there's a lot of things you can do. But originally they said it was the dark color that really led them to set it aside. And I'll explain why. Because when certain bourbons turn out lighter than normal, especially for their like small batch product, what they can do is instead of adding all artificial color, which is illegal in the bourbon world, you can add darker bourbon to adjust the color. So that's why they set it aside. They took these 11 barrels and were like, hey, we're just going to set them aside for color uses. But then they tasted the batch of these 11 barrels and they were blown away because like I said, it's illegal. Man, I'm catching up my notes. But after tasting the blend, Dan said, quote, it was George T. Stagg on acid. which is kind of the goal of a lot of distillers, including Dan and Donis, you know. So they gave it a name, Cowboy. And their Cowboy release, even according to them, really put Garrison Brothers on the map, more so than their standard product for that time. And that's a while. Like 2012 was early in the bourbon boom, like if not like at the beginning of the bourbon boom. So it was really helping them take off. These days, it's not an accident how they select the barrels, but they still are honey barrels, as they say. They don't say that. I say that. But we know what that means. It's like very special barrels. And that's for sure. Donis apparently every now and then finds a flavor profile on a barrel that reminds him of the accident, considered what happened originally, which he then sets aside for the Cowboy release. The release is usually in September, like the bottle release, and they do host a way to purchase the bottle on site of the distillery, but you'll have to wait in the long line, similar to what I was talking about for like Stranahan's and wait in the line there. But luckily it's Texas and not that cold. But it also is sold through retailers otherwise. Brian, how did you get this bottle?
Total Wine.
Really?
Yep. It wasn't even at customer service. People really weren't making a big deal out of it. I think it was even available for a day or two in the glass cabinet where they were just there.
It's like $280 so at retail. So
and surprisingly, there was not a additional Phoenix tax to it. It really was just straight up $249.99. Yeah.
Really? Because they sold it on their website at $280. So you did well.
I will verify my statement then, but I'm pretty sure that it was just straight up $250.
That's cool. So here's the specific release notes. This is the 2023 release, and it's not only uncut, unfiltered, and a good old Texas bourbon, but it's hazmat too. That's right. It's over 140 proof, specifically 140.9 proof. aged at least 6 years. It's won a ton of awards over the years, but even this past year, it's gotten stuff from the SIP, the SIP Awards. What's that? What's the medal? Oh, yeah.
Several garrisons come with fancy little neck tag medals on them.
Does that have like a specific award to it, though?
Not at all.
It is award winning bourbon.
It is the award that it won is to be a Garrison Brothers Cowboy Bourbon 2023. I'm pretty sure a couple of one of their others, they just throw a, you know, Texas Lone Star, whatever star on it.
Texas bourbon. So even the Ascot Awards, Fred Minnick's John got some big names, or Cowboy did really well. The Tag Global Spirits Awards. And recently the Denver International Spirits Competition, but this year it also won Best in Show. And Best in Show is not like a gold medal. Best in Show is literally number one, and that was from the American Craft Spirits Association 2024 competition, which was like a month or so ago.
Yeah,
very limited release. On their website it says 280 a bottle.
Dang. And I did
but confirm, definitely sold out on there.
Did confirm straight up 250, 269, 49 of tax. You. Yep.
All right. We've been letting this John Peace breathe, and it is a dark looking whiskey.
Right.
Wow, let's do this.
There's a little bit of red in that dark. There's a tint. Dark too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't smell like a hazmat.
No.
Well, maybe it's because we aired it out so long.
It smells so sweet. It smells syrupy.
It doesn't smell like, okay. When it smells sweet, it does smell sweet, but it doesn't smell like George C. Stagg sweet to me.
It smells like literal sugar to me.
Yeah.
It smells like there are sugars in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But tons of oak, though. Very powerful. And like, again, one of these days I'll figure out what this white corn funk is. But it's got an extra layer of like funkiness to the nose that just like there's nothing else like it. Totally unique. Cole is gasping for air right now.
No, it's really good. It is nice and sweet. Yeah, it doesn't read 140. It reads about 125 to me. Maybe 130.
I think I'd say 130.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And
yeah. The it reads a little, it kind of shows its heat because as the finish kicks up, not only do like the finish flavors kick up, but more ABV kind of kicks in where you're like, oh, it's getting hotter. Oh, it's getting hotter. Like an ABV hot kind of ramps up.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, dang. Okay. This isn't stopping.
Two notes that come to mind. Pecan pie a little bit. But also I gotta be honest. There is a little bit of syntheticness on the front of the palate, like a youthful note. And it's only, I mean, potentially it's only just 6 years, and I don't know what kind of barrels they're using over in High Texas. But it's not a deal breaker either. Like, it's good. It is still good. But if you were to compare this to a George C. Stagg on acid, that's the only thing that's keeping me from saying this is BTAC worthy.
So like on acid.
Maybe the funk.
I've never done acid, but I feel like it's not necessarily trying to say that it's like, you know, when people say like on crack, like George C. Stagg on crack, it's like
it's a just whole other up. Level.
It's amped up. But I feel like on acid means like it's just funky, wacky. This could go either way, kind of kind of thing. And so as far as my notes go, so much sweetness on the nose. I like smell, you can smell sugars on the nose, but none of that transfers to the palate. It's hardly sweet at all on the palate. And it's very, very tea-like. It's like you sweep way too many tea bags.
Yeah.
way too many tea bags and
sweet in some tea.
Yeah, yeah, actually, yeah, sweet tea. There's a little bit of sweetness there, but it's like trying to get too flavorful tea, and there's so much wood here. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because it's very unique and I'm really enjoying this. That's just the intensity of the flavor that I'm getting is very, very tea and very, very wood.
Yeah. In terms of a craft distillery, though, I give them mad props, especially when they're the ones distilling their own stuff. Because didn't we talk about that last time they distill their own stuff? Pretty darn sure they do. But impressive. Very impressive. BTAC worthy? I'm going to go no. Yeah. But really good.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And it is... The finish does not take you places. The finish is what it is. It's that pecan pie. It's the baking spices, and it's a super super woodsy, slightly sweet oak. And what it's doing very well, but it's not doing a lot more than that. And like I said, the finish doesn't evolve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling water is going to kill this in a bad way.
Oh, you think so? I think it could go.
Yeah, I think it's going to bring out those synthetic-y youthful notes.
But we're on acid right now, Cole.
Yeah, we're on acid.
It could go anyway.
Yeah, those listeners who've actually tried acid or something like that, like, oh wow, yeah, they totally know what it's like. Yeah.
These guys have no idea.
Yeah.
Whoa. I got to pour a little for my water pour because I'm not going to water up as much as I...
Smells great with the water.
Nice.
A little...
Oh, I didn't cork pop. And now that I've already removed the cork, it's not going to be good, but I'll try now. Let's see what happens.
Worth Weak. It.
Weak.
Worth it. Yeah, I think I like this, but we'll see what the palate's like with water.
Okay. Yeah, I'm only just dropping my water now. And actually, I might go a little heavier on water than I normally go. Maybe like 4 drops.
No, I thought this might be better. It's not better. Like I said, the youthful synthetic-y notes, little bit of soapy, weird oak, youthful oak showing up with the water. It's not even enjoyable.
I was waiting for you to say soapy before I said, don't they use smaller barrels?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, I guess. But I believe they do.
They probably do. They're crafty. Those crafty bourbon makers. So crafty.
Let's
see, distillery.
That big sweetness on the nose. Oh, wait. I still have my neat pour here, so I can actually nose each of these.
Uh-huh.
And the sweetness, the sugar on the nose, on the neat, is just not there on the nose, on the water. Uh-huh. The sugar is not there anymore at all.
Yeah, it's oaky in a weird way. So I'm looking at their website, and they have a few pictures. They say, our story, visit High, which is the city it's made in, find the bourbon somewhere. They have merchandise, buy a bottle, and then bourbon blog. Bourbon blog has this like image of a barrel, but it looks to me like it's obviously not a 55 gallon barrel. So I will assume, because of that little picture that says bourbon blog and has a picture of a barrel, and it's only assuming, it's only speculative, that that is not a larger barrel. So I think they probably are using like maybe 20, 22 galloners or something like that. Which isn't a bad thing. What's it called? Whiskey Del Bac uses smaller 20-ish, 22 or so gallon barrels. You just got to have a good handle on when to pull that bottle or the pull the barrel.
And I mean, let's be real. Like, they're in such a hot climate. Like, there was an association there about wanting to use smaller barrels when you're in a hot climate that I'm just not being able to piece together in my mind right now.
Uh-huh.
But what I can say is I just straight up Googled Garrison Brothers Rickhouse. And,
oh, cool. It's
and just obvious. Random photos from people. Yeah, these are like Del Bac size bottles. Okay, barrels. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I'm getting that note.
So I, after putting about four drops of water in there, I kind of like the water palette more. It's a little more, tame.
Gotcha.
And you can get a, you can search for more notes and not be as overwhelmed with the, I said the one thing that it does well is pecan pie and baking spices. Mm-hmm. There's, it's easier to analyze just because it's not so freaking hot with water.
Yeah.
So that got me excited, and I went ahead and added even a little more water now too, just to see what would happen.
I'm on the ice pour myself, so I'm going to be sipping that in a moment. Nose's eye. Same kind of deal. It's just a little more oaky. What do you think of the palate with more water?
It's dry and more tannic.
Okay.
Not super tannic, but I think it is genuinely a better whiskey overall with a little water.
Okay.
Where, it's without water, neat, and it's full hazmat glory. It's just trying to impress you, but with a little bit of water, it turns it, it matures it a little bit more into something you can appreciate. I think
that's how I feel about the ice pour. Actually, it's much better than the water pour. The oak is tamed down with ice so that you don't get as many of that weird youthful oaky notes. Yeah, it's good.
Sorry, it's good. If my neck tag is a little too clanky over here.
Your Lone Star. Everything's bigger in Texas tag.
Every time I do a new pour, it's clankety clanking everywhere.
Yeah,
that's
how they get you.
It's my accountability tracker, so all the listeners can hear every
like
time
a bell I'm doing, on a cat.
Doing another pour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
got a little
bit
of like saltiness.
Ooh.
To the front of the palate and turned into a nice sweetness. I kind of dig that last pour.
The salty salty idea is interesting. Yeah. I can,
especially with the pecans.
Yeah. Salty pecans.
Sandies.
I can see the salty a little bit. I went back and I sipped my neat pour once, and I'm only just dropping an ice cube now. But the it is more bitter to me neat, and there is more sweetness and more flavor with a little bit of water.
I think I do appreciate the ice pour the most, to be honest.
Did you give nose notes on the ice pour? Because I'm not smelling
it. Yeah, it was the oakiness was a little less, but still there, but definitely less than the water pour, but similar notes of like sweetness and sugary and a little bit of pecans.
Lot of sweetness on the palate with ice. Like this, maybe even the most, actually, definitely the most sweetness.
You getting that
on the
salty
palate.
Note though,
like a briny kind of,
up front only, and it kind of transfers into the sweetness. I like the ice pour the best.
I think, briny. Well, not even briny, just like a little bit of salt, literal.
Yeah, tiny bit of salt. No, that Texas salt. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right for the agave and the tequila. Even though you can't make tequila in the U.S.
Ooh, speaking of tequila, man, are you familiar with tequila at all?
Yeah.
Phoenix got a little drop of añejo Fortaleza earlier this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Fortaleza.
Oh, I think Fortaleza.
I love añejo tequila, though.
Like, people kind of, I think Fortaleza is a big hype brand right now. Nice. So people are all mega hyped on it and it's allocated and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
But yeah, like several Total Wines got a case of añejo Fortaleza, which is, you know, a harder Fortaleza to find. It's not like a special release, like the winter blend or something, but it's, you know, of Blanco, Reposado, Añejo. It is a little more rare than the others from what I understand. Cool.
Nice. Speaking of which, I think I'm busy this weekend, but there's a ABC barrel pick release this week, and there's everything from, like, I think Four Roses is the only thing I would consider for a single barrel barrel strength, but then there's a few single barrel tequilas, probably the what's that Sazerac brand that'll do? Corazon.
Yeah, and so they finish in Blanton's barrels and stuff,
or like George T. Stagg or something like that.
That's cool, though. I remember the last time one of those happened, I looked through the list and I was like, yeah, I think Four Roses is probably the best thing on here.
And I showed up 20 minutes before they opened and got a Four Roses. I was like, at the last Four Roses they
perfect.
Had.
Perfect. So, yeah. Nailed it, yeah.
But I think I'm busy at like 10 this weekend, so it's not going to work out.
Nice. I haven't tried.
Do you have a rating in mind? I have a rating.
I'm honing in. I'm really close, but late finish. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a bitterness like after I sip coffee. You're not a coffee drinker, right? You're no caffeine. Not
since the accident.
Was there really an accident?
No.
Okay, I was curious.
Anxiety attacks.
Okay, I gotcha. Black coffee, just no milk in it at all. That mouth coaty bitterness. Okay. Not unpleasant. But that's a kind of bitterness that I'm tasting right now. And I actually kind of like it.
I like the finish that I have, which is still like pecans and sweet. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I have a rating in mind for this one. And I got to look up the secondary rating scale real quick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But my first rating is an 8.85. Hot take. This isn't Hubba to What for me. Like, this is good. Worth trying, for sure. But that youthful note, that youthful oaky note, just keeps me from saying this is Hubba to What. I am impressed for a craft distillery. I'm impressed for a smaller barrels distillery. But it's obvious to me that this is... a little youthful, a little not youthful. Like 6 years is a long time. I wouldn't even call it like Buffalo Trace is like 6 years, 6 to 7 or whatever, or 6 to 8 or something like that. I mean, Sazerac is 6 years and it's fantastic, but it's just the barrels that I can kind of taste. And like, I can call it from just tasting it. And maybe I'm wrong. And sometimes they do it right. Like I said, Whiskey Del Bac nails those smaller barrels, but some people overage a small barrel. And it brings me these notes. I give this a B. Close to a B, which is kind of well above average. I would say this is well above average, but not like blowing my mind.
Yeah. Man, that's funny. Okay. So as far as numbers go, my brain went to about like 8.6 or so. Which is, you said 8.85, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm lower than you on numbers, but I'm still inclined to give it like an A minus.
Okay.
And A is like the very good level where it's super well-rounded. It's extremely solid. You can't make any substantial negative comments about it. I'm just below that, like just below that, where I'm A minus. My only... it's not even a negative comment. My only comments, like my wish list, was that it hit more notes of like, where's the fruit at? Like, where's, you know, other interesting notes at that? Like all this was just like deep, deep sugars, deep wood sugars. That's like kind of all I get from this. Yeah. And I wish that there was a little more like some spice somewhere or some whatever.
Fruit.
Anyway. Yeah. Something. No fruit at all. I sipped Stag there and I'll That's say true. It's totally on par with Stag though. I think as far as an interesting thing to sip, I think it absolutely punches on the same level as Stag. But definitely not George T. Stagg.
Yeah. No, that's cool. All right. Now that we've got our ratings, we'll get to our next segment of the show. We like to call this next segment Whiskey World news, whiskey world news.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Whiskey World News segment where we read an article that we did not write. We are just going to read it, didn't write it. Today's article about whiskey comes from the Rob Report. Shout out to Rob. Give Rob a
shout
ding.
Out to Robbie.
Where's Rob at right now? All right.
Yo, Rob. I don't know if you remember that, where Robbie used to have the hat that said, Yo, Rob.
No, great. I don't remember that. Oh, that's great. I need that hat.
Yeah.
So Rob Report put out an article. Good old Jonah Flicker, hardly knew, put out an article titled, This Historic Scotch Distillery Just Reopened Its Doors 40 Years After It Closed.
Nice.
Another ghost distillery has come back to life. Ooh. So gonna read this here after drinking two hazmat whiskeys, so please bear with me. Normally I trim these down a little bit, but there's a lot of meat in here, so if you can bear with me, if you can hang in here for like 10 minutes while I read this article. All right, so there are several highly regarded ghost distilleries throughout Scotland.
Tomatin Cubokin, the Cubokin. Ghost dog.
I know that. Yeah. Ghost distillery is a term that refers to distilleries that were shuttered decades ago, but still release whiskey from barrels tucked away in warehouses throughout the country. One of the most familiar names is Port Ellen, and the whiskey that once was produced there often commands astronomical prices when it's released by a parent company. Diageo, man, I always got to think about how to pronounce that. Diageo. This week, the distillery officially reopens, and we have the details about what you can expect. But first, a little history. Port Ellen was founded in 1825 on the island of Islay. Known for its smoky whiskies, for more than 150 years, the distillery produced peated whiskey, which was mostly used for blends as opposed to single malts. Mm-hmm. But in 1983, Port Ellen was shuttered due to the decreased demand for whiskey at the time. In the years since, the site was used for malting barley.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
That didn't last long, though. As whiskey fans, collectors, and aficionados discovered there were still barrels of Port Ellen whiskey hidden away in warehouses around Scotland, the liquid gained in popularity and increased in price. In 2017, parent company Diageo announced that the distillery would be rebuilt and reopened, and after 7 years and £185 million investment, that has finally come to pass.
That's cool.
The new Port Ellen distillery has a completely fresh design, featuring a glass still house, two pairs of copper pot stills that are exact replicas of the original stills, and a set of experimental stills that will be used for smaller batch whiskeys. Whiskey production got underway earlier this year, actually, before the distilleries opened. They also upgraded the Spirit Safe, whatever that is. That sounds cool. And a sustainability effort that has made it completely carbon neutral. The team is also launching a program called Atlas of Smoke, which will use algorithmic imagery to decipher how the peat levels in the whiskey respond to aging. That just sounds amazing. So a quote from master blender Amy Morrison here. We will better understand how the nuanced flavors from cask to cask shine in different ways, with the rolling smoke weaving its way through the heart of Port Ellen. Through our bespoke algorithmic image machine, we can learn even more about the enigma of smoke and bring people with us on this journey from Islay to the world.
Nice.
To celebrate the reopening, Port Ellen is releasing Gemini, a set of twin decanters holding 44-year-old whiskey that was produced shortly before the distillery closed.
That's pretty cool.
The spirit was originally aged in European oak casks before it was divided into two lots and further matured. Suggested retail price. Have you seen, Cole? Do you want to guess?
What was it like? It was like 20 grand or something like that.
Oh, was it 20 grand?
No, I forget. It was stupid much though. Like, it was like, that's not even going to be worth it.
45,000 pounds or around $57,000.
Yeah.
Starting in June, you, or should I say we, can book a visit to the new Port Ellen with options ranging from shorter sessions to day-long private experience.
Cool. So I have thoughts on this. And I will relate it to one of my favorite shows, Arrested Development.
Ooh.
So Arrested Development was not big when it was on TV, but it only got big once it got canceled. And then when they were like, oh, this is big, we should like actually restart it, it was terrible. So I'm not saying Port Ellen's going to be terrible when it comes back, but I say give it some time. You know, even Kilhoman is a smaller Islay distillery and they're getting good these days. But like, I hope Port Ellen takes their time with aging because as a new Islay distillery, I hope they take their time. But the cool thing about Port Ellen is that, yes, they have their malting house that it was still active. Bruichladdich would use their malts all the time because like basically it was like a great malt house, and then they would use the local grain, like the local Islay barley grain from that area, malted in house, as far as I remember learning about this, malted in the Port Ellen house, and then use that on some of their whiskey and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool that Port Ellen was involved after or during these 40 plus years of being not a distillery. But it is cool too, like that they got big after they got, you know, shut down. And then, but I hope they take their time and don't do a Arrested Development and do a seasons 4 and 5, which suck.
Right.
It's not even worth doing. I hope they take their time, write good material, write good episodes, and then release something that you're proud of. So,
yeah, right. And don't just start trying to be a moneymaker right out the door.
Exactly.
Arrested Development, that's funny. Sam was familiar with that and she got me to watch it. And man, it was so good. I mean, it is like the pun show.
And the reusing of jokes is amazing.
I don't know any other show that is so punny, more punny than Arrested Development. And the one that sticks with me, I think, is the finale for season 1. The finale for season 1, where like the mom's name is Loose
Seal,
and there was a Loose Seal, and people were yelling Loose Seal.
It's so good.
That doesn't give it justice at all. But I highly recommend you watch that show if you haven't seen it before, because it's absurd.
Can watch the same episode twice in a row and still laugh just as hard.
And you probably figure out something new that you didn't
know the first time. It's just so well written. Like in terms of comedy, there's no greater in terms of my favorite. Like there's Nacho Libre in terms of movies, and then there's Arrested Development.
Yeah, shout out to Cole, by the way, for mentioning Guadalupe twice and
I held it back too. I was like,
the first time you did, when you did the first one, I was looking at you like, is he gonna do it?
And I was like, hold it in, Cole. Don't annoy everyone with your Nacho Libre quotes every episode. But yeah, dude, there's so many good lines. Like one of my favorite parts of Arrested Development, I feel like Bryce Morita is a big fan of the show too, but is where they're in the first episode. You'll see it a bunch of times throughout the show, but Job does something and he's like, it's not one of my tricks, Michael. He's like, it's one of my illusions. And then later in season 3, what's her name? Charlize Theron's on and she plays like a mentally handicapped woman, which they didn't realize until too late. And she like walks across the water at the end of the, like she's supposed to get married and she walks across the pool without falling into the pool. And, Michael is like awestruck about this. He's like, is this one of your tricks, Job? And he's like, no, Michael. And it's like, next time on Arrested Development, it was one of my illusions. Like lights Tobias's hair on fire. Oh, it's so good.
Another one that sticks out of my mind is the Blue Man Group.
Oh, like, it's so good.
I just blew myself.
So good. Oh man. One more quote is, and I love how they bring in the narrator who was played by
the director,
Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And there's this one scene where basically Job is really upset that Michael is not was invited to the cabin in the woods, but never got to go to the cabin in the woods. But Job never got invited to the cabin in the woods and still didn't go to the cabin in the woods. And he's like, Michael, he's like, I don't have a son. And then the narrator's like, he does have a son. It's like, but if I did, I would never not tell him that there's a cabin in the woods and then not tell. I mean, basically, he's like going through it all, but he's like slipping over it all. But I love the narrative throughout. Like, he does.
I know. on point with the interjecting narration.
So stuff. Good.
But we will now move into what Arrested Development episode would you choose? I mean, what whiskey would you choose? So last week, would you choose? We asked you on Instagram, what would you choose between these two destination/whiskey combos? Would you rather go to Paris and get a Buffalo Trace single oak project?
Surprising results here.
Or would you rather go to Iceland
and get sheep dung smoked whiskey
from Floki, the distillery Floki? And in the last minute here, a bunch of people came to my saving, whatever the word is. And
you were losing by like a ton, like you were down by like 80 plus percentage for a while.
It was literally like 87-13 at 30 minutes after we posted.
That's crazy.
But then all the Iceland people came in, and it ended up being 57-43 Iceland.
Wow.
Over Paris.
Wow. Paris. Come on, people. It's my favorite place in the whole world. And people are hating on it.
Is that because you found a single oak project there?
No. So I expected Paris to be so overrated. And within being there for like less than an hour, I was like, this is my favorite place in the whole world. And it's not even because like City of Love or anything like that. It is a cool town. Paris is awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. It's funny to hear you say that, because like I was talking to Sam and I was like, man, like Iceland is so much more our vibe than Paris. Like a million times over, we would rather go to somewhere like Iceland than go to a big city like Paris.
So
I guess just it's the way everybody else feels too.
Yeah, for you know, especially after the first hour.
Yeah, and like ultimately, like whiskey versus destination.
Yeah,
I mean, my mind is all about destination.
People were probably voting on destination as opposed to literally sheep dung smoked single malt.
100%.
Maybe they just really wanted to try it, you know.
Yes, and at the same time, like I'm sure that there were probably one or two people who were like, "Ooh, it's kind of a tie, but Single Oak Project, Paris."
yeah.
But we got just a truckload of write-ins, so bear with me another 10 minutes here while I read these. So Madtown marketer Ben Klepsig wrote in. He said, "Hey-o. Redbreast 21, which we know this story."
Yeah,
he got a Redbreast 21
200
in the Netherlands, 200 euros.
I would drive 2 hours for that too. Any day.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a 2-hour drive. I forgot. So, Drew Tolan. Yeah,
Drew Tolan. Shout out to that baller. Yeah. He's not a Patreon, but he's a baller.
Still somehow strangely gorgeous, though.
Yeah, exactly. Photogenic to the max.
E.H. Taylor, single barrel in Maui.
Wow, I can't believe that. When I saw that, I was like, dang, that's a story right there.
Maui,
finding a bottle like that.
So Whiskey Drinking Panda sent a beautiful, beautiful picture of some Hibiki. And Yamazaki Hibiki and Hibiki. I'm assuming the two Hibikis are two different years.
Yeah, I don't know which one he got. Maybe he got all three of those or something.
But he did say he got them, all three, I'm assuming, in Dubai while he was working out in the UAE, United Arab Emirates. So bro asked, Broasca Testoasa. Whew.
You get it right every time.
Picked up a Tullamore Dew in Romania because that's all they had. That's all
his,
they had.
His wife is from. Yeah, and that's what Broasca Testoasa is Canadian or is Romanian for turtle.
Canadian for turtle. It is Romanian for Canadian turtle friend.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we got another write-in from Dimitas. It's got to be
Doug,
right? Doug, yep. Yeah?
That's what his name is.
Committing that to memory now. Doug Dimitas, Yamazaki 12, Japan, and a random suburb in Tokyo.
Nice.
Marco and AZ wrote in, said, A. Smith Bowman Distillery Tour. It sounds like you have a story to tell here, but
A. Smith Bowman, he came with me.
Distillery Tour found differing laser codes on John Jay
Singer. Yes, and I had forgotten about this.
What's the deal with that?
When Marco and I went to see, went to the A. Smith Bowman Distillery, they were like showing us, I forget the exact thing. Really what it comes down to is like, there was a laser code on John Jay Bowman that shouldn't have been on John Jay Bowman, where they're like, oh, we actually should probably take that. And they took all the bottles that were on the shelf that had the laser code off. And they're like, we got to like take it back. I think it was this. There was like a laser code that should have been for John Jay Bowman. That was like, it really was their small batch, which is their, not Isaac Bowman, Bowman Brothers, I think. Okay, and so, yeah. So they were like, we should actually figure this out and relabel them if we need to. But we were like, can we get it? It's like a cool, like misprint basically. And it'll be like a cool thing. But they were like, no, we can't do that. But they killer, really, really good, tour guides there at A. Smith Bowman.
Nice. Okay. So. Yeah. One of these days when I head out there, that'd be fun to meet you halfway.
That
there.
Would be fun.
Kilted 518 Miles Ferguson. He says Glenn Grant 10. He gave Cole the 16.
So I can't believe that he gave me the older one because that was a good bottle. That's
I can believe it because it's Miles Ferguson.
Yeah, what a baller.
he got that in Rhodes, Scotland.
Yeah, Roths. I think
Ross, thank you.
Like
right in from Brian Duncan here. Brian's got a Blanton's on the way now from Japan.
Hey, so
that's awesome.
Yeah,
Dramhound says, "Oh, who is alive?" By the way,
yeah, alive and well.
Says Wild Turkey Rare Breed non-chill filtered in Zurich. Oh yeah, that's right. That's he was posting about that on our
Discord. And he was asking us if we wanted anything, basically. So.
Yeah. And then B-side, Bryce Morita says, personally, Glenfiddich from Scotland. Nice. But my mom's got me Yam 18 from Japan.
That counts. Yeah. Good answers this week, guys. Thanks for chipping in.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. What do we got this
next
week? Okay. So next week, we're not going to be doing one.
That's right.
So this will be 2 weeks from now. We will give our results. But please write in.
Yes. And we want you to write into the question, what is the oldest whiskey you've ever tried and was it worth the price?
Okay. So for me, this is easy. I have had, I believe it's the 29 year.
Oh no, you've had something older than that. Okay. Actually, wait, what does old mean?
Wait.
Do we mean aged in a
barrel? Have I had something older than that? 30 something?
Yeah. You and Rob did a special episode where you drank something bottled in 1918 or whatever.
Oh, so that's old. So I was considering age of whiskey for this one. So
then that's what we'll go with then.
Okay, cool. So the oldest whiskey I've ever had was actually, I got to double check one thing. Nope, that's it. Whoop and Holler from Orphan Barrel. It's a 28-year-old bourbon. It's not a bourbon, it's an American whiskey now that I realize it.
Oh.
And it was bottled in 2016. I think it's a bourbon. I mean, not a bourbon. Yeah, it's just a whiskey. But yes, 28-year-old Orphan Barrel Juice, but it's like 84 proof. So it's a little rough, but it's also like I remember trying it. It was like super oaky, like too oaky. Yes, 28-year-old is the oldest I think I've ever had in terms of age. And I had that when I worked at the bar in Richmond and didn't pay for it. So it was totally worth it.
Boo.
Yeah.
Do you remember any idea what the price of the bottle was?
It was at least 200 probably a pour, and I would not have paid that much for that. Not worth it. Yeah.
Man, yeah, I gotta imagine there's just not a lot of flavor on that, just like oak.
Oh, there was flavor. It was just not beyond the oak.
Yeah.
The oak was the flavor.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Oldest whiskey I have ever tried, Elijah Craig 18. I'm pretty sure Peregrine.
You've had the Glen Grant 23 year from the drink alongs. It was the
years?
Alexander Murray and Company or whatever.
I totally forgot about that.
And that's why you should be on Patreon, listeners, because we do drink alongs with 23 year old scotch.
And was it worth the price? No, because I don't even remember it.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's it was like 86 proof or something like that too. So it was like a bummer. But
that's funny. Maybe if I'd pulled up my library list, I might have seen something else. But yeah, suddenly Peregrine came to mind because that's 20-year age stated. 20 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that 23. Because I can hardly think of any 20s at all. So that's got to be it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'll take a picture for you.
Perfect.
All right. Now that we've covered that, I think that's about it. So next week, Brian, I want to say it, but I want you to say what we're doing
next week
for episode 300.
Okay. Prepare with us, dear listeners. We will have our faces melted off for episode 300. Because we are having good old Nick Taylor back on from Found
friggin'
North
Taylor
for episode 300.
Yep.
And Nick Taylor is sending us, lucky podcasters, samples of every Found North release that's ever come out.
All eight batches, basically, of Found North, we're going to be sipping together.
And you might remember, if you've been listening for a bit, on our previous episode with Nick Taylor, he mentioned, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm going to send you all the batches from Found North that we've come out with. And sure enough, I got the notification today.
Yeah,
it's on its way.
The courier is out.
And it is coming. We are going to spend a whole episode. Who knows how long it's going to go, but y'all know.
But it's Nick freaking Taylor. He's awesome.
You could listen to Nick talk for days.
Oh, seriously.
So much fun.
It feels like you're talking to a friend.
We're going to drink through, I guess, 9 or so whiskeys then of what Found North has come out with.
Yeah.
And we'll be asking them questions along the way. We will put out a poll on Instagram, hoping that y'all will write in and let us know if there are any questions that you want us to ask.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. We can relay any questions that you guys have and get some hot takes from Nick Taylor on his opinions on all these previous batches too and everything. Mm-hmm. So it should be fun.
No, it'll be great. I think that's going to be the perfect episode 300. And there might even be more surprises. We'll find out.
That's true.
But join us next week. We love you guys. Thanks for joining us this week. Hope you guys had a good time. Hope you learned a lot about cowboy bourbon from Garrison Brothers. What else do you hope, Brian?
I hope that Brian Duncan.
Yeah.
And Rob, I'm not going to mention last name.
Rob.
Know that they've got more Garrison samples in our sample pool.
Nice.
And we've got Garrison Laguna Madre from Rob.
We do. Mm-hmm.
And we've got a Garrison store pick that is 145 proof.
That's right.
From Brian.
What a baller. In the sample pool. So Brian and Rob, you're amazing.
I hope they know we're very appreciative of that. Thank you.
I hope they know that they're amazing on their own. But most of all, listeners, wait, did you have something to say, Brian?
I just hope that you can keep it up with keeping the Nacho Libre quotes down.
Yes. Now I want to say it, but I'm going to hold it in. And I hope that our love of whiskey lifted your spirits. You're both idiots! Sweet. Like there's code the code when a kid contaminates the monster world, they're like 2319.
Nice. And, yeah, perfect. Funny.